Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday, 2 days away from the 4th of July and the Kevin Herr Fireworks Bash.
Really? Now I got to go buy fireworks. Thanks. Sparklers don't count, right?
Not really.
I hate to tell you, but that's all you can buy in this state.
Just pretend you're from Maryland across the border.
The thoughts of Steve Jones are not necessarily that of the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
No, they agree with me. I don't know. I've never really been a big, especially backyard fire.
You're hosting fireworks displays. You don't need a backyard display.
No, but I'm saying, though, I don't like backyard fireworks displays. I'm really not big on that at all. Not big on the little tent that's set up on the side of the road.
Well, no, I do like some of those. They're quite interesting. You get the frogs. They're kind of nice. There's a little sparkler to them, and they change colors. I like those. But, you know, you have a fairly big fireworks display out in State College that you end up hosting every year.
Oh, that, I'm talking about that. That is, yeah. And I'm not doing that this year. I'm just going to sit back and watch it. I'm not going to, you know.
Hey, do you have the number that I could call for the... Oh, sorry. I was...
For what?
Well, if they're looking for a host, you know, I just...
They aren't doing it. No host.
Yeah, that figures. All right. Hey, Steve, I got Dave from Sunbury on the line for you.
Dave, it's great to hear from you at 800-795-9565. Welcome.
Hello, Steve.
Well, how are you today?
You know, you're saying about the sports and that. I said, you know, I have a wide variety of interests.
Yeah.
And, but, you
well,
know.
There is. Yeah, I mean, I really like that you do have such a wide variety of interests.
Well, today I'm going to tell you how they found out about my heart and respiratory problems.
No.
I went out for football in junior high because I could throw the ball rather well and rather long, so it was being, you know, it was upset because I'm left-handed, but... You know, I had a 50-yard spiral down when I was just going into junior high. So then I took the physical, and the doctor wouldn't pass me. I don't know if Kevin remembers old Doc Dietrich and...
Sure.
And his cigars.
Sure.
But that's where they found it. If I wouldn't have been that much interest in sports, who knows what would have happened.
Well, and that, you know what, and it's interesting, in a different realm, in a different sport, and obviously more high profile, look at Isaiah Austin, the center for Baylor. Now, the NBA doctors do a rather extensive physical, and they found out that he had Marfan syndrome. In the end, that physical may save his life. Not, you know, obviously a very difficult condition, but that physical may have saved his life.
That's what I said. I said, if anybody asks me who I root for, I tell them. Go to sports, whatever. And it's a wide variety across two, not just the United States, but also up in Canada, too.
Right. Well, as I say over and over again, I don't really care what sport you enjoy. I'm just thrilled you enjoy one. Or a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's just, you know. And I just got involved in it. Well, I went for an errand for my one brother and got involved in a discussion with a lady of Wises.
Okay.
About And I says, well, we'll wait and see, because the numbers are depleted right now as far as it's very low on the depth chart. So I said, give them a couple of years to get some real things really going. Don't expect bowl games, you know, of the kind of quality, you know, because, some, you know, if you get a key injury here and there when you're way down in numbers,
yeah,
I can put a crimp in you. I says, give them a couple of years and give the kids
time. Well, I mean, that's
why,
look, I think they have an opportunity here that if the door is open for them to get to a bowl game, I think they have a chance to get there. I know a lot of people have talked about, look, this could be a 10-win team or whatever. You know, I'm not – I don't make predictions on number of wins, but I'm going to be cautious with fans about expectations for the team only because of what you talk about, the numbers part of it. There are two areas on this football team that you could ill afford to lose a key performer, offensive line and linebacker.
Yeah.
Guess which two areas that they've lost a key performer in the last 2.5 months.
Both spots.
Yep.
Both positions.
So right, exactly. That's where the depth is the leanest right now on the football experience guys that are going to be big pluses for them for the 2014 season. Now, can Penn State's 22 go out and compete head-to-head with any 22 in this conference? No question.
Yeah.
The problem is, what do you have 23 through 50 in case one of the 22 goes down?
And like you said, it also at the key positions, like a line, because you moved some defensive linemen over to the offense because they were so decimated there.
Right. Yeah, and Brian Guy and Derek Dower, yes.
So I said, you know, that's the years. And I says, and by the way, they're getting top-notch recruits right now. I says, until...
Oh, there's no question. But you know what? I always go back to this. I can talk about the fact that they're recruiting great. They're doing really well there. People are excited about it. We know that as talent evaluators, they're really good. But at the same time, I always tell everybody that potential's that fancy word saying that you've never actually done it before.
Well,
so
that
that's
also,
why I wait. That's why I wait.
I understand, Steve, and I didn't try to. Sorry if I cut you off there.
Oh no! I may have cut you off.
Well, because I was looking at what you did in high school doesn't, you know, it's exponentially much better in college than it is in high school because you don't find
and
that
the same,
you know
right.
The talent
exactly.
there at the, college is a whole lot more plentiful than it is in high schools. Because a lot of them, like, you know, if you're the top guy on the team, everything goes around you. Because I can recall a time when a particular individual, in the first years of Shikellamy, he carried the ball about 97% of the time. Yeah, he went out to Oklahoma State in that. And he got his degree in that, but he had injuries out there all 4 years. So it didn't exactly work out that way for him. As far as going to the NFL, but it got him into a good job.
Well, what happens is that you make the move from high school to college, and suddenly the talent level that you're practicing against, just practicing against, is suddenly comparable compared to what you were doing before. When you make the move from college to the NFL, same thing. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the talent level that you are practicing against is comparable compared to what you were practicing against in college. So, it makes a big difference. That's why when you see people excel at each level, that's really impressive to me because that really means you are an elite player.
Yeah. Well, the one person that I'm interested in, and they're probably going to redshirt him, is McSorley. The other quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian McSorley.
Telling my twin my youngest brother about him, says he also has skill sets for other positions because he played defense.
Well,
and he's also running back, you know. So, I said, you
right.
know.
Exactly. And it appears that the starting quarterback that they have has some talent.
Yeah. Somewhat, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. He's okay.
Yeah.
But I'll hang up and listen. And a happy 4th to both of you.
Thank you, David.
Happy
one other thing.
Happy 4th to you.
Okay,
yes,
one
sir.
Other thing. Kevin Herr.
Yes.
And Sarah Bartlett did an outstanding job about the parade.
Thank you very much.
I watched that today.
I appreciate that. We had a lot of fun, and we're in Shamokin on Saturday, so watch for that next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Happy 4th to you. 800-795-9565. And we'll be back in a few moments. Steve Jones and Al Roker as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Great. I love a parade. You didn't think I'd recognize that, did you?
No, I would have been disappointed if you hadn't recognized it.
I mean, really.
That might be the original recording from 1931 as well.
Probably is. That probably is the original. Thanks to Nate Bauer for being on the show today, Paul Page for being on yesterday. Kevin Herr now continues.
Well, I was just going to say, we haven't done the CFL Week 1 update. I know you're waiting to see the winners, and the winners were Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, and Saskatchewan. If you were the home team, you did well in Week 1. 3 out of 4 home teams won.
Fabulous. I had everything on Saskatchewan. I feel better.
Yeah, are you a big Rough Riders? Yeah, is that your team?
I don't have a team up there.
They have some great nicknames, though.
But yes, they do. But you know what's interesting about the CFL?
It's the only football being played right now.
Okay. They are third in North American average attendance.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
The NFL, obviously... I'm talking about professional sports, obviously. I'm taking college football out of the mix here. The NFL is number one at about, 54, 55,000. Baseball is number two at about 30,000. And sitting there at number three is the CFL at about 27,000.
Well, and that's what the average draw was this past week. Calgary drew 26,000. The lowest was the Saskatchewan-Hamilton game at 19,285.
So,
and that was a Sunday night game.
Right. So that is the, that's what, when I look at, that's one that a lot of people don't realize. They don't realize that the CFL is actually number three in average attendance in North America. Not bad. Now, why do you end up seeing something like that? Well, the reason you end up seeing something like that is because I was trying to look up what the average attendance was for MLS, and this came up.
Some of the preseason games this year actually drew more than what an NFL preseason game did.
Oh, really? Well, the NFL preseason is an interesting thing. I understand the resistance to go to 18 games. I really do. I think 16 is a great combination. It's a great number. I realize there's a desire to add meaningful games to the schedule. I understand that. But I also understand why the Players Association is resistant to it. Because you look at the number of injuries that take place over a 16-game schedule, and you add two more games to that, wow. And you get to some weekends where the number of backup quarterbacks playing is awfully high. as a matter of fact. And that's a problem, too.
Well, I think a big issue with a lot of season ticket holders are the fact that they pay for four preseason games that really they're not seeing the players that they want.
They pay for two.
Or they pay for two, okay.
They'll pay for four. Right, then I
two home games,
you
right.
You do play some road games.
Right. That's an excellent point. Thank you.
You do play away sometimes. Thank you. Now, the key is, do you end up with the first preseason game where there's some excitement about, okay, let's see what we got here and let's see who some of the players are. And then you have the third one happens to be, hey, you know, we got to see, like, they played deep into the third quarter. I got something out of it. Or is one of your home games happen to be number four where nobody plays?
Yeah, that's where no one you know is showing up in that game.
That's just terrific.
I would rather see the NFL do this, and I know this isn't going to happen because this just isn't the nature of things. What if you didn't charge for preseason games? What if you just got fans interested in football that didn't normally have a chance to go to a football game and just put tickets available on the web or whatever and give them away and let them watch football for these four preseason games and not pay for it?
I agree with you, and the reason I agree with you, please pick yourself up.
Yeah.
The reason I agree with you is as follows: when each team is making $130 million off of television per year, to me the door is open to do something that is fan friendly and not gouge them.
Well, and you don't have to worry about, I mean, all right, so you have to turn on the lights and you have to do this and, you know, you'll have a little overhead.
How about $5 and for everybody, and you've got yourself, you put 60,000 people in there and you end up making $300,000.
Even that's reasonable, but I guarantee you, you charge $5 or zero and you're going to get that back tenfold in items that are bought in the stores that are in that stadium. You're going to get that back in concessions, because people are going to have extra money to spend that they won't have to spend $50 on a preseason ticket, at minimum $50.
Plus parking.
Yeah, plus parking.
I mean, $5 to park, $5 to watch the game. Suddenly, you know, four people go to the game. You end up spending $25 because not all of them are going to pay to park.
And I guarantee you they're going to spend more than $25 a piece when they get in the stadium.
Absolutely, especially if they have video games for sale.
In the NFL, you could do that, just not college.
Right. But, I mean, I look at that. I mean, if an independent group was doing, they make so much money in the NFL. It's a $9 billion business. There's no need to gouge for a preseason game. There's no need. No need to make it the same as a regular season game. It's not a regular season game. And I think that that's one of the things. I commented on this in the blue-white game. The blue-white game is free. Parking is free. 72,000 showed up at this year's blue-white game. The weather was impeccable. As I was driving in on Park Avenue, you know what I saw to my left, because I was in the right-hand lane, and cars were pulling up in the other two lanes. You know what I saw to my left? Parents with kids.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Young, I mean, I'm talking children, ranging anywhere from 4 or 5 years old up to 14, 15 years old. Okay? And those people right there, we're going out for a family time. They're going to tailgate. They didn't have to pay to park. They didn't have to go into the stadium and pay to get into the stadium. They had to do a little work. I get from what I didn't see it, but from what I understand from fans, they have to do a little work at the autograph session. But, you know, you can get some autographs. You can go to the game, go back out and have a good time. And those young people in those cars, those are your future consumers right there. You're getting them hooked at a young age on Penn State football, and mom and dad are able to do it because they didn't have to pay to go. That's why the blue-white game was an absolute consumer bonanza because you made it free. It's a scrimmage. It should be free. Every scrimmage across the country should be free. I can't believe that other people are charging for it. Don't charge for it. There's no need. Okay? And you have to turn the water on in the stadium, but you don't have to turn the lights on. That's what I saw. I saw 72,000 people having themselves a great time, and guess what? They didn't have to pay to park, and they didn't have to pay to go in. What that did for the future of the program did nothing but help, because those young people all got in there, had themselves a great time, and they're going to remember the rest of their lives what a fun day they had at Beaver Stadium. You can't put a price on that. Final half hour of the show coming up. Our thanks to Nate Power, Blue White Illustrated, for joining us last hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. What a job they do. I was reading today in USA Today that car sales have been strong throughout the course of this year, and a big reason why, we have great dealerships like Sunbury Motors. They take care of your needs. You come first. They're trying to fit your needs and your budget around a vehicle. Nobody does it better than Sunbury Motors, and nobody does it better than Sunbury Motors Kia. Plus, don't forget the service department. They take great care of you after the sale as well. Major League Baseball this afternoon, plenty of it. Bottom of the ninth inning at Yankee Stadium, where Tampa Bay leads New York 6-3. In the bottom of the eighth, Seattle leads at Houston 5-2. Bottom of the fifth, Cleveland leads at Chavez Ravine 3-2 over the Dodgers. End of three, San Diego leads Cincinnati 3-0. These games are finals. Kansas City beat Minnesota 4-0. Detroit down Oakland 9-3. Toronto beat Milwaukee 7-4 on the big board today. Cubs and Red Sox tonight at Fenway. Colorado at Washington. Texas at Baltimore. Arizona at Pittsburgh. Pirates rallied and won last night. Mets at Atlanta. It'll be Philadelphia at Miami. And the Angels will be at the White Sox. One West Coast game tonight has the Giants hosting St. Louis. And you are up to date on what is going on in Major League Baseball on the scoreboard. Men's tennis, Andy Murray bounced today, the defending champion at Wimbledon. Roger Federer won today over Stan Wawrinka in four sets. Marty Mironic won today to advance to the semifinals, as did Novak Djokovic.
Are we seeing a changing of the guard in tennis right now? I mean, I'm hearing a lot of names, a lot of big upsets early.
I don't know what we're seeing right now. I have no idea. Serena Williams yesterday, that was bizarre. I have never seen anything like that in tennis or in any sport in my life.
A dominant first set and then just got dominated
I'm talking about yesterday. She couldn't she tried to play, couldn't play.
Oh, you
couldn't
mean
toss
oh,
the ball.
Okay.
Couldn't toss the ball. Now, I have a friend that's working at Wimbledon for the networks, and he and I communicated this morning about it, and he said, look, supposedly she hasn't seen her coach in 4 days. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think it was her sister that earlier on won the first set handily and then just collapsed the rest of the match.
Well, no, I would say... I just don't know what's going on with Serena Williams. It is one odd deal. Tim Howard, who had a great matchup yesterday, was terrific in goal, said it's not the player's job to grow the sport of soccer.
It's not the player's job
to develop American soccer. I suppose it's talked about in that context where it's on our shoulders to grow the sport. We go out and play a beautiful game. At least we try to, and the supporters are either attracted to that or they aren't. The numbers have been staggering. People want to watch. That's all we have to do. Go out there and try to win. America loves winners. We know that. So if we keep winning and keep playing well, the rest of it will take care of itself.
I see his point, but if they go out there and play awful and get destroyed, no one is going to be interested in soccer. So I'm not sure I completely buy what he's trying to say.
I think it's their job to promote the sport at events, but in the end, it's their play that is the biggest promotion. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, they have to, as a player, they have to be playing a high-quality brand of soccer, or no one is going to be interested in watching it. So to say that it's not up to the player, I get what he's trying to say. I just don't think it's completely 100% correct. I think he's trying to say it's not up to us to promote the sport of soccer, but yet if they don't play at the level that they have to play at to be competitive, then no one is going to be interested in watching soccer.
Well, then what they would tell you is that if I'm spending all of my time with promoters and sponsors and things like that, I can't work enough on my game to make us better.
And that's why I say that's where I do agree with that part of it. But I think that was the intent of what he was trying to say, was that it's not our job to promote it, but yet to some point you have to a little bit with your play.
Let's take a sport you love, auto racing.
Okay.
I think they spend too much time with promoters and with sponsors and not enough time with the fans.
Certain types of auto racing, I absolutely agree with. There's way too many sponsor-oriented events.
Now, I understand you need them. I mean, let's face it, you don't end up, you know, looking like a billboard unless you have them. So, but I mean, that part's important.
Well, and I'm not talking negative about NASCAR, so I don't want you to read into that way, but...
I've been to
NASCAR races. I've been to IndyCar races, and there's one thing I can tell you: IndyCar drivers are more accessible in the garage. They're more accessible in the fan zone, and they're more often in the fan zone. Now, it may be structured signing situations, but they are accessible. Whereas with NASCAR drivers, it's usually a sponsor-oriented fan signing. Or it's members of that particular business that gets involved in that meet and greet. That's not to say it's that way at every race and every NASCAR and IndyCar race, but the ones that I've been to, that's the trend that I see.
Well, I see where Tim Howard's coming from. He said, look, what got people excited in this country about the World Cup is not how many sponsor events that they went to or how many fan events they went to. What got them excited was beating Ghana 2-1.
But okay. See, the fan event part has to follow that.
Follow it? Why?
Because now you've created an interest. So now as a player, and I think the women's soccer team did this with especially with Brandi Chastain. She became a household name for multiple reasons, but she was out and did a lot of appearances and stuff after that tournament to help promote soccer. I think because of that win, you now, as a player, do have to go out, at least not necessarily sponsor events only, but you have to do some fan events as well. You need to be accessible to promote your sport just a little bit. I don't know any sport where the professional athlete or the athlete that is financially benefiting in any way from the sport is not required, not required, but does not need to go out and be, you know, amongst the fans every now and then, be accessible to a point.
Well, obviously I do about a dozen speaking engagements a year in usually multi states within a radius of State College, obviously. So, you know, and I'm out there talking about Penn State football, basketball, and all Penn State sports. So I'm out there promoting what they have. You know, Beaver Stadium's not a sellout. James Franklin wants 107,000. Jordan Center's not a sellout. Patrick Chambers wants 10 to 15,000. Right, so I mean, I'll go out and I'll do a dozen events, and you know, now would the fans rather see, for example, the players instead of me? Of course they would. It's hard for them to do; they're in school. But
yeah, but I'm looking more toward the professional athlete side, though.
Well, I'm not so sure Peyton Manning has to go out and do any events, does he?
No, but there was a time where he did. He doesn't have to now, but I think there was a time early in his career where he did. For instance, since you picked a quarterback, let's pick my favorite, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel needs to build his popularity in Cleveland right now. Now, maybe not as much as some other players that just got drafted in Cleveland, but he has
to... Not so sure about that.
But you get my point, all right? Maybe Johnny Manziel was a poor example of that.
I was going to say, I don't really think he has to do much.
All right, maybe the right guard that was drafted in the third round.
I think when the team is not winning... Okay, take Cleveland, for example. You know, the Browns are not an automatic sellout like they used to be. I mean, I think you're trying to do things to promote the club and get people out to see you play as opposed to seeing...
Okay, well, that's part of it.
I mean, I think that's a bigger part of it.
Well, in racing, it's more individual-oriented than it is in a team sport like football. So, you know, but, yeah, I think... But I think you do have somewhat of a responsibility as a player and as the... as the face of the sport now, to go out and do some personal appearances and get people interested about it. It only benefits you in the long run.
Yes and no. I mean, I think that the primary thing you need to do, for example, you know, as players, is be really good yourself and win. I mean, winning really does bring
that,
with
that
it.
That does create interest.
I mean, that's the greatest marketing tool in the history of man, winning. You can do all the pizza giveaways you want, and if you're not winning, I mean, after a while, I can go buy the pizza, right?
Steve, I got Tony from Shamokin on the line to chat with you.
Hi, Tony. How are you, man?
Good. How are you? This soccer, all it seems about to me is to get the ratings and the drum up support. Now, from what I see, they played 4 games, right? They won 1.
Yep.
Yes. Howard, the goalie, am I right? Yeah, I think that's his name.
Yeah.
He made 16 stops. Well, that means his team isn't playing in front of him, from what I gather. 16.
Well, that's
shots
a lot of stops to have any
shots
goalie make, considering that's a considering that's a World Cup record. Yes, that's.
They've been keeping records.
I didn't know that.
They've been keeping records for 50 years, and that's the newest.
Look. When I've looked at them, okay, to get out of the group that they were in was an accomplishment, and I said at the beginning that if they got out of the group, everything after that would be gravy. They did do that. Now let's apply an American sports standard to this. Any team that we root for goes 0-2-1, and the one is that they got tied in the last 30 seconds. We're not happy with that group.
No,
by an American sports standard.
And you get out of the group with a loss. See, they're the kind of things that, I don't know, it's not the American way, for lack of a better word.
No. I mean, for example, if the Eagles or Steelers went 0-2-1 over a 3-game span, how hot?
Exactly. And if soccer is ever going to get a fan base, if they're ever going to get people backing them, they'll do it because they start enjoying the game. But to me, a 1-0 offensive explosion does not do it.
Well, again, I mean, Tony, it goes back to what I said earlier. If there are a bunch of people who are passionate about soccer, I say that's awesome and great. Okay, and if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. It may be something else. Tony, you love football. I know you do. You're a football fanatic. Okay, you love how American football is played, and I think that's great. You know, and if anybody else is passionate about another sport, I think that's terrific too.
And you want to talk about passion? You've seen with the Italian team when they were like arrived back in Italy, they had like 18 coffins lined up on the runway.
That might be too passionate, Tony.
I mean, they take it serious, but that's their sport.
Yeah, that's their sport. They didn't do well, and in Spain, they weren't happy with them. I mean, my goodness, remember what happened to the young Colombian player when he had an own goal against the U.S. in the Rose Bowl? He didn't make it to the next month.
That's right. And the Americans, I believe our coach is German, right?
Yes.
He's a German. And get an American coach.
Yes.
I don't think you'd see
You know what? It doesn't. Does Cleveland bother that Andrew Wiggins is Canadian?
I didn't know that.
Is Dallas bothered by the fact that Dirk Nowitzki is German? I think after a while, I don't care who's coaching it. I don't care who's playing it. Right? Just go out and win.
Just
it.
Just win.
Just win, baby.
The American team, not the Dallas team, not the Cleveland. This is America.
If they feel that that's the best route to do it, that's fine.
You know, I hope the sport catches on. I mean, I'm not going to be the fan sitting there. I mean, I may watch occasionally.
Right.
I just didn't never grow up with it. I don't really understand it.
And that's terrific. That's fine with me. And you rooted for the front of the jersey and probably enjoyed watching whatever because of the front of the jersey, and I think that's terrific. And then you're going to get into the fall, and you're going to settle into the sport that you really love, which is football, and that is awesome. It's just the fact that you love it, and the fact that you found something that you love and can be passionate about, and it's a great release and a pastime. That's the most important part of being a sports fan to me.
After the World Cup, though, what is there? MLS, Major League Soccer? Is that it?
MLS in this country, which is hanging in there and doing well. You know, if we lived in the Northwest, Tony, Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, that sport in Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver, MLS, they draw tens of thousands of fans. Yeah. I mean, certain regions love it. Other regions, you know, are not that crazy about it. I mean, some sports have that regionalization to it. For example, among young people between Syracuse and Baltimore, a lot of them are loving and playing the sport of lacrosse right now.
Just so curling never catches on.
Only in the winter.
Tony, you are speaking my language, my friend. I can't imagine what individual would love curling.
It's all about the button there.
Hey, listen, everybody have a happy New Year. Happy 4th of July.
Hey, Tony, happy 4th of July. Thanks for being such a great supporter of the show. We appreciate that so much. We will come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Closing it out. We'll have a best of show on Friday. I didn't know any of those existed on this show. No, I'm just kidding.
I did find one.
It's actually pretty good. We have a lot of guests on this show.
Yeah, it's the only time I get a chance to host the show. So, you know, it's really exciting for me to do the best of shows. Paul Page is coming up, Kurt Smith on Voices of the Game and his other books, talking about many of the voices that we've grown up listening to. Tony Knopp with The Business of Sports. That's when I fall asleep during the show. And then we'll wrap it up with Willie Randolph and Andy Russell. Willie Randolph on his new book and Andy Russell talking about Coach Chuck Knoll.
Jeez, this is all the last 2 weeks.
Well, a little bit longer than that.
Doesn't include Doug Gottlieb, the CBS analyst on the NBA.
No, we only had 2 hours.
Today, we think, I understand that. Well, I think it's always been important to get as many local guests as possible, get as many regional guests as possible, get as many national guests as possible, and bring it back home to our area. And we've been fortunate. We've been able to, in the third year of this show, get that kind of accommodation. And if there's anybody that you would like us would that you would like to hear on the show, don't forget, you can just send Kevin an email.
Yeah, it's, you can reach us with Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU. Of course, our Steve Jones Facebook page as well. And you can email us through stevejonesshow.com.
Because, I mean, we want to bring you what you want to hear. That's the bottom line. We try to be as proactive as possible getting guests or go on location. Like last year, we went on location to Pocono. We had Scott Goodyear on. We've had Charlie Kimball on. Matt Kuchar when we were at the U.S. Open, getting him on. James Franklin, who's made numerous appearances now on the show.
He's almost at regular status.
But I'm just saying, but we try to be as proactive as possible getting guests, Dave Paulson, Joe Susan, Patrick Chambers. But we've had many others on the show as well that we've talked to. Now, one guy I'm really trying to get, and I talked to him when I was in Dallas, and that's Jim Delaney. I am trying to get Jim Delaney on the show. And when I saw him in Dallas, he goes, no, Steve, I will do it. I mean, really, I will do it. I'm like, okay. I have to go catch a plane, Jim. I would like to find out when. I know as commissioner, he takes a lot of heat that comes with the job. I get it. But I have a lot of personal and professional respect for Jim Delaney. I really do. Hard job, difficult job. He's an excellent businessman. His number one job is to take care of his 14 schools. When you're negotiating the contracts he's negotiating, he's doing it. And if Penn State, by the way, gets a bowl game back this year, he will be a reason why.